1 Peter chapter 2. The theme in 1 Peter is suffering. And there's a word in chapter 2 that only appears one time in the authorized version of the Bible. In fact, it's not a word that we even spell this way anymore. But it's a good word. It's in verse 19. It's the word thankworthy. Thankworthy. I'm going to look at this one verse, verse 19, but I need to read a few more verses to help us understand it. You always study the Bible in context. Do you know what I'm talking about? In other words, it is never safe to take one verse, pull it out, use it, and not know what's around it. Context. What do the other verses around it teach us? And if you will study the Bible by knowing the context, then you will avoid error. And so even though verse 19 has a principle in it that we can use, I'd like for you to know where that principle came from. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to try to be brief tonight, but this could get, if I'm not careful, it could get a little bit lengthy. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. 1 Peter 2:18. I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter, and then we'll focus on verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Now that word froward is a word that means someone who's going away from what's right. Verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, but by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Father, please bless our time in the Word of God tonight. Lord, help us to examine verse 19 properly, and I just pray that you'd bless us. Help us to remember at this time of year the concept of thanksgiving, the meaning of thanksgiving. It all really comes from you, and it all belongs to you. And I pray you'd help us tonight to see some things that would help us to be thankful, but also to cause others to be thankful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I got to be real careful because I'll get excited about the context and never get to the message. But the context is important because what the Bible is talking about here, in 1 Peter in general, the theme is suffering. You see suffering mentioned over and over and over again. At the end of this chapter, the example is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's always a good example. Amen? So was the Lord Jesus Christ treated fairly? No. Did he get what he deserved? No. Was he given a fair trial? No. Nothing that happened on that night when he was tried and that day when he was crucified, none of that was right. And yet he endured it. He is our example. Now, when you look at verse 19, the phrase occurs there. It says, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Jesus Christ suffered wrongfully. You would agree?
Amen.
Just two or three thoughts. Number one, the televangelist, the fellow on TV that tells you that you never have to, once you're a Christian, life's going to be wonderful and there never is any suffering, is lying to you. And he wants your money. He doesn't care what the truth is. Folks, we are going to be called by God to endure some suffering. No question about that. And let's keep going with this context here. What got us going in verse 19 was what he said in verse 18, which was, if you have a master, you're a servant and you have a master, that you should be subject to them with all fear, whether they're good or whether they're bad. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. And so we all like to work for somebody who is good to us, who gives us more than what we deserve in terms of pay or rewards or whatever. If you ever work for somebody, I've worked for some people, not many, but some people that were just hard to work for. You still do your best. And you give them just as much as if they were a great employer or a great boss. And we don't have the servants so much anymore like the Bible servants, but we still serve people. We still work for people. Just a different arrangement. So there's that idea set forward that it may be that you find yourself in a bad situation, a situation where somebody is treating you unfairly, and what you're going to do is you're going to endure that grief and you're going to accept that suffering. And why? Why? Because, he says so right here at the end of verse 20, that's acceptable with God. God is watching us to see how we respond when folks are kind to us and how we respond when folks are unkind to us. So, well, Pastor, I'm just going to work for the folks that are kind, that are easy to work for. Well, hopefully you can get a job like that. But it's like we tell our students in the school, you think you have a bad teacher that's giving you a hard time? First of all, you don't. But you're going to have some bad teachers. When I was in college and my transcript came out, I didn't get a chance to go say, well, that was a bad teacher. And I had some bad teachers. It was my responsibility to make the best of that bad situation. So enough said about the context. Now, let me take a turn here and talk about thanksgiving and thankfulness. And I like, and I hope you do too, words are important.
Amen.
Amen? So the word thanks, if you look up the word thanks in Webster's 1828 dictionary, I looked it up with this particular question, which I asked you earlier tonight. Why or when do we give thanks to people? When do we thank people for something? You might ask yourself, we say thank you a lot, don't we? I like the word in Spanish, gracias. It's one of the words I know well enough to use. And when I say gracias, I said gracias to somebody the other day and they kind of chuckled because my pronunciation is not what it should be, maybe. But when I say gracias or thank you, I don't say it idly. I mean it. I appreciate it when someone does something for me. Does that make sense?
Amen.
We thank people. Now, this is the definition that Webster gives. He says, thanks is an acknowledgement which expresses some favor or kindness that has been received. So, for example, when you leave a restaurant, you might say to your waiter or waitress, thank you for your service. I got bad news for you. That's not really a time when you're supposed to thank people. It's their job to serve you. And the Bible actually tells us this, if you remember. And by the way, it's nothing wrong. Thank them. Go ahead. But the Bible says in Luke 17:9, you don't thank a servant for doing the things they're commanded to do. I remember a leadership course in the Army, and they reminded us, you don't thank your soldiers for doing their job. It's their job to do their job. It's their job to do their job. And if you thank somebody, the inference or the implication or the idea behind thanking someone is that they didn't have to do it. Do you see? It's something that they did, which is voluntary, and you're thanking them for it. So the waitress, if they did a really good job, then maybe you would thank them because they went beyond the call of duty, if you will. They did a better job than they should have. So when you thank someone, when someone gives you something, a gift. You thank people for gifts, don't you? When someone does something for you, you thank them. When if someone gave you a ride somewhere or if someone provided something, you thank them for those kinds of things. And so I looked in the Bible. I was asking myself the question, when should we give thanks? And I wanted to see the examples because you look at the principles in the Bible. There are too many for you to hear tonight, but I'll just tell you a couple of them to kind of get us going. In chapter 27 of the book of Acts, thanks was given because God provided food. We give thanks before we eat. Amen?
Amen.
Someone was criticizing a lady one time. They said to her, you know, you've got the food. It doesn't really matter whether you thank God for it or not. It's already there. And she said, yeah, but when I thank God, it tastes a whole lot better. It's just the right thing to do. You ought to develop that habit of thanking God for the things he gives you. In Acts chapter 28, Paul thanked, well, they thanked God for a successful journey. Now, I could just go on and on and on with this list. There's lots of things that people are thanked for. But here's an interesting thing that I saw. In the first place, I like to look at, again, the words. The word thanks appears in the Bible 130-some-odd times. I wrote it down, but I can't see it here on my notes right now. And, half of those are in the New Testament. Many of the times in the New Testament, when you think about it, you've seen this. Many of the times when thanks is given, thanks is given for somebody, for people. And for example, and again, you know many of these verses if you stop and think about it. In Romans chapter 1, Paul thanked God for the Romans. In Corinthians chapter 1, Paul thanks God for the Corinthians. In Colossians and many other places. And if you start reading the times when there's thanks given, many times it is for people. So I was hoping to come up with something really tight, and I think I have a good concept, a good principle for you here. And I'll give it to you, but I want to tell you one more thing about thanks. That word in 1 Peter 2:19, that word thankworthy, it comes from the same place that the word grace comes from. In fact, Brother Hickson will remember this. It comes from the word charis. Now, that's neither here nor there, except I think about thankworthy, giving thanks. Actually, there are about 10 times in the Bible to where thanks or some type of thanks is connected to that word charis, that word grace. Thankfulness. You and I, if we are gracious, we should be thankful. And God is gracious, and therefore we should be thankful. We thank God for his grace. One of the verses we quote a lot is in Thessalonians. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But why should I give thanks just because it's God's will? Because, folks, when God's will is done, things always are best, whatever it might be. You say, but I'm suffering. That's best. And you'll understand why someday if you don't already. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, we come back to verse 19. Let me read it again. He says, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now let's just set a few words on the shelf for a minute and focus on some that really we want to zero in on. The word thankworthy. In other words, that's something that thanks ought to be given for. But it wouldn't be us giving God the thanks. That's not the context here. We'll talk about who gives thanks maybe in just a minute. But something worthy of thanks is if you do something for God, for conscience toward God, and he mentions enduring grief, suffering wrongfully. Those are synonymous meanings. Let's just use suffering wrongfully. Let me say it again simply. If you are willing to suffer wrongfully for God, that is worthy of thanks. Now, quick thought. I won't be long. I asked myself the question. It wouldn't be me. I mean, it's right for me to thank God for everything, but that's not the thankworthy. Who gives thanks in this verse? And before we get into a theological debate, it could turn into that, I can assure you. I know this. People give thanks for other people. Thanks to God for other people, don't we? Amen? Paul did. And I ask myself the question, and this is dangerous territory. I don't ever want to tell you anything I'm not sure is right, but I'll just step on a ledge here for a minute. Could we ever do something that God would thank us for? Could we ever do something that God would thank us for? Thankworthy. Again, you go to the restaurant, waitress brings you your food, you give her the tip, and they're really, in the military, I told you, if a soldier, if he stands in formation and he's got his uniform clean and he does his job right, you do not, as an officer, you do not thank him for that. That's his job. You thank people for times when they go above and beyond. When they do something voluntary they didn't have to do. When they excel in a way that's a blessing to you, that's when it's worthy of thanks. Now, I do believe we should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And so what I'm trying to say to you is, it is right for us to be willing to suffer wrongfully. If the Lord Jesus Christ did it, then I should follow in his footsteps, if necessary, and do the same thing. But I'm just going back to the verse. This is what it says. If you suffer wrongfully for God, it is thankworthy. I can assure you that there are, and you'll believe this completely, there are people who suffer so that they can keep serving God, so that they can reach souls for Christ, and we thank God for them, don't we? If someone were willing, for example, this is a bad illustration, but it came to my mind. Let's say someone had a broken leg. And when they walk on their leg, it hurts. And they decided that even though their leg was broken, they were going to go on visitation. All of us would say, you know, your leg's broken. You could stay home and until it gets better, and then you could go on visitation. But if someone in that situation was to say, no, I think it's important to go soul winning, I'm going to go with a broken leg, we would say that's above and beyond the call of duty. That's thankworthy. I got to be careful because I'm going to run out of time. So I just want to ask you the question, two quick questions, and here they are. Let's say, what is there in your life that causes other people to thank God? Do you see what I'm saying? What is it in your life and my life that causes other people to thank God? And we ought to thank God, amen? For example, if you got, as other people are faithful to church, you and I should thank God for their faithfulness. Thank God for them. I thank God for the people, the men and the ladies when they choose to do so that come back to the prayer room and pray on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights a quarter before the hour, right before the services. That is voluntary. And I thank God there are people that do that. And that number is growing, by the way. And I believe if you were to come out Sunday morning, you say, well, Pastor, I think I could be to church 15 minutes early. Sunday school, not church, Sunday school, 15 minutes early. Or Sunday night, 15 minutes early. I know you enjoy the fellowship. I do too. Sometimes I get caught up in it and forget to go back. But go back to the classroom and pray with us. We thank God for people that have that kind of conviction. I thank God for people that are soul winners, for people that are faithful, for people that are an encouragement. I thank God for the friends that he gives me. I thank God for the people like my wife. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for the people that serve in our church. A lot of people do a lot of things many times without having to be told. I thank God for that. My question to you is, are you the kind of person that other people thank God for? And maybe perhaps that would bring our eyes onto something that we might ought to change, or maybe something we could keep doing. If you're faithful, keep being faithful. Amen. We thank God for that. If you're working in serving God and you're consistent, you do it every week and you're faithful to serve and whatever it might be, Sunday school or ushering or the sound booth or playing piano, whatever it is. If you're faithful in that, we thank God for that. So that's my first thought is, are you doing the things that make other people thankful to God? Now, this next one's a little bit trickier. Are you doing anything that God might thank you for? I just struggle with that a little bit because I don't think God doesn't owe me anything. Amen? I owe him everything. And when I obey him, I mean, again, Luke is very specific. The Lord told us in Luke 17:9, you don't thank your servant for doing things that were commanded. When you obey God, that's not optional. And so that's not something God would thank you for. When you serve God, you're a servant. You and I are servants. We're bought with a price, aren't we? So that's not something that God's going to thank us for. But I think there are some people that go, as we say in the military, beyond the call of duty. You've heard stories, many stories about this. It's a trite illustration, but time and time again in the military, there have been people that have jumped on hand grenades, and they've jumped on the hand grenade and gave their life to save the folks around them. and then there are some stories, and I read one the other day about a fellow who was on Iwo Jima, and a Japanese hand grenade landed in their foxhole, and he jumped on it, and it didn't go off. And he kind of lay in there thinking, oh, hey, that was kind of nice, and looking around at everybody, and he didn't have to jump on that hand grenade. There are some things that we may do that would even be extraordinary enough that someday God would say something to you on the order of gratitude. I'd like that. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to be the ordinary stuff. It's not just going to be, I went to church every Sunday. You're supposed to go to church. It's not just going to be, I tithed or I was a soul winner. Those are things that are expected of us. But go back to our verse and you'll see what's worthy of thanks in verse 19. If we do it for God and we endure grief. Now, I didn't take the time to break that word down, but you can understand the word grief. It's connected to sorrow. It's connected to disappointment and sadness. And that's one of the things that causes people to quit. They get sad, they get discouraged, and they stop. But enduring grief says, even though grief was present, I kept on going. That's thankworthy. Has there been a time in your life when perhaps the obstacles were so overwhelming that it was time some folks could have said, I'm going to stop. And you kept going. That's thankworthy. Suffering wrongfully. I'll tell you this. The Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do we deserve that? No. But the Bible says that's thankworthy. When Paul and Silas were cast into prison and they put the irons on their feet and they'd beaten them, and these men were suffering physically in a very terrible way, and they sang to the Lord, that's beyond the call of duty. I really think, and we'll just kind of finish up with this idea, if you and I can thank God and keep on serving God and endure and suffer and thank God for it, even when it gets really, really hard, that's thankworthy. Amen. And I don't know exactly, I just can't imagine God thanking me for anything. It just doesn't seem right that he should do that. But I'd like to strive for that, amen? I'd like to at least say that I did my best, and that perhaps there would be something in there to where I had gone to that point to where God would say, that was beyond the call of duty. Thank you for doing that. I do know this. When you and I endure and keep on going, it causes other people to be thankful for us. And we're thankful to God for you, for folks that are faithful, for folks that serve, for folks that care, for folks that love the Lord, and for folks that endure. We're thankful for that. And all of us ought to strive to affect other people that way. Amen? If you really can't think of yourself as someone that others are thankful for, I'd probably want to ask myself, what should I change so that I could be that kind of person to where people would thank God for me? We ought to be that way. Amen?
Amen?
We ought to be that way. Let's all stand and pray.